A written transcript of this episode is provided by Starburst. For more information, you can see the show notes.
Welcome to Data Mesh Radio with your host, Scott Herleman, sponsored by Starburst. Starburst is a single platform to help you activate all your data, no matter where it lives. Check out our new Data Products for Dummies ebook to learn more about how your organization can utilize data products. To download your free copy, head on over to starburst.io.
Data Mesh Radio is provided as a free community resource by my company, Data Mesh Understanding. It is produced and hosted by me, Scott Herleman. This is going to be a panel because while I clearly am not shy about talking, I want to give others in the community a voice too. It definitely shouldn't only come from me. We should be hearing from many different people doing this. If you want to participate in a panel, please do get in touch. You can go to datameshunderstanding.com to see some of the other free community-friendly programs and the other learning resources we have, and you can check out are actually quite reasonably priced offerings. So let's hear some fun music and then jump into a quickish summary of what you'll hear about in this panel. Panel, Understanding and Leveraging the Data Value Chain. Bottom line up front, what are you going to hear about and learn about in this episode? Guest host Marisa Fish, who is the guest of episode 115, as well as a senior technical architect at Salesforce, facilitated a discussion with Kindel Mari, who's the director of data governance and business intelligence at Prima, as well as guest of episode 246, Tina Albrecht, who's a senior director of transformation at Exida, as well as guest of episode 228, and Carolina Stozio, who's a senior project manager of AI at Munich Re. As per usual, though, all guests were only reflecting their own views. So the topic for this panel was understanding and leveraging the data value chain. This is a kind of complicated but crucial topic, as so many companies struggle to understand the collection and storage, processing, and then specifically usage of data to actually drive value, not do data work, but drive value. There's way too much focus on the actual processing, the transformation aspects, as if upstream of processing isn't a crucial aspect, as if value just kind of happens by creating high quality data instead of ensuring that it's actually used. So while we kind of lost Carolina for a bit towards the end, so she's silent for about a 10-minute stretch, but we thank her for getting back and getting the connection solid. So, and as per usual for these, I share my takeaways rather than trying to reflect the nuance of the panelists' views individually. So got my top 8 here, and then I've got a bunch more in the show notes as per usual. So number 1, if you want to dig deeper into the data value chain, the concept, consider looking into the value streams concept as well. What flows through your business in terms of processes to actually generate value? Where are the points of value leakage as well? The same concepts are crucial in your value chain. You think about link to link to link. You have to think about how things move throughout your actual chain. Number 2, organizations need to really educate their entire organization on the data value chain. It's not just the data people. Part of why there are so many issues in data with things like upstream changes by developers breaking all the downstream data is those developers simply don't know what parts of their data are used and why. Communication is a much bigger aspect of doing data work than people actually think. So again, we've got to push the understanding to everybody as to why are we doing this and what's valued and how does that actually create value. So number 3, even talking about the specific data value chain, though, can cause people to focus too much on the data work itself instead of the business value delivered via data. The data value chain is crucial to understand, but it's also crucial to understand data work doesn't inherently create value. It's about how it's used in the business. Dig into the value created and focus on working backwards from that to what data work needs to be done. Number 4, The data value chain is crucial for companies of all sizes across all industries. At its heart, the concept is about focusing on ensuring you aren't kind of leaking value in your business value streams and pipelines. You need to focus on what drives value and how to improve the processes there, and data is really important for most companies. Number five, data value chains often cross the line of business or domain boundaries. After all, a lot of the value of data is about combining information across those boundaries about your greater organization. That can mean cross-team handoffs with data work, which make understanding and ensuring the success of those data value chains even harder. Who owns what isn't inherently understood or agreed to. You need to get very specific and get into those details. Can you think about how people look at like supply chains? You don't just kind of go, we'll order this and then we'll use it in some way. You have to think about the very specific logistics. Number six, it's important to not get overly focused on a single endpoint of value when it comes to data work, especially when it comes to thinking of a data product. If we want reuse, we have to focus on the processes of creating reusable value, maintaining that larger picture focus while still ensuring each data consumer can still get value from a data product. It's a hard balance, but you have to think about not getting super, super specific about this is exactly what has to get done when you think about the actual value chain versus the work that you're doing. Number seven, focusing heavily on your data value chain is going to be hard. It means hard work and a lot of internal collaboration, and thus negotiation, not just communication, but actual negotiation. And that a lot of that across domain boundaries. You all have to be in it together to really get the best results. And some organizations aren't ready for that. Tina talks a little bit about it, you know, this will mean more transparency. Is your organization ready for some transparency? That's a real question. But the hard work pays off because you're ensuring value actually gets created instead of data gets created. And number eight of, again, my top takeaways, more in the show notes. As with anything in data, you have to make bets. That doesn't mean every bit of data work will create significant value or even exceed the investment. That's kind of the point of a bet, is to bet that it will have something, but with an understanding that it might not. But an approach like data value chain is crucial to understand, one, what bets are you making and why? And two, who owns what aspects of the data work? That can help you really focus on the what and why rather than focusing on outputs. Again, that whole thing of outcomes instead of outputs. Okay, with that summary of my top takeaways, and you can see the show notes for more takeaways if you'd like, but let's go ahead and actually hear from our awesome panelists themselves.
Hello. Thank you for joining us for Data Mesh Radio. Today, we're having a panel on data value chain. And today, we have our guests. We have Tina, Kinda, and Carolina, and I'm Marisa Fish. I would like to introduce you to our panel. First, I'd like to have Carolina introduce herself.
Thanks, Marisa. Hi, I'm Carolina. I'm Polish, live in Berlin, have been working in data pretty much ever since the university. My last position has been a lead data scientist for a health insights startup based in Munich, Demedica. I actually closed that just to the end of the year. I'm now enjoying a month of unemployment and bumming around before starting my next position in February. So stay tuned. Should I hand it over? I'll hand it over to Tina.
Yeah, thank you, Carolina. My name is Tina from Berlin, Germany. I'm an expert in data transformation, so I work in an IT consultancy, and I help our clients to set up a proper data organization and to set up proper rules and governance and everything around it. And I have a heartbeat for value. So I'm really looking forward to the discussion. So I hand over to Kinda.
Thank you, Tina. And hello also from my side. It seems like we have a majority of people here on the call from Berlin. So I'm also based in Berlin. And I am currently leading the data governance and business intelligence teams at Prima, which is an insurance company, the leading insurance company in the motor sector in Italy. And I'm on my second data mesh journey, the previous one being at HelloFresh. And in both instances, I was leading the data governance function. Before that, I was my focus was heavily geared towards data quality. And I'm very excited today to be talking about data value chain in general and within data mesh. So looking forward to having these discussions with all of you. Marissa, what about you?
Excellent. So I am Marissa Fish, and I work for Salesforce. I am based out of Omaha, Nebraska, so I'm the lone U.S. person on this panel. But as with data mesh, the goal is to share data across domains. And so this is an excellent panel. But our focus today is on data value chains. So we're going to jump right into this panel. One of the first things we need to talk about is what is value chain. So quick history. I don't know if our users are familiar with the concept of value chains. In a business, there's a value chain. We know that you have your core capabilities, you have operations, you have logistics, you have marketing, you have services. And then you have your enabling capabilities, which are your infrastructure, your facilities, your HR, and your technology, and your procurement and contracts and finance. But how does that apply to data? So I'd be curious from the panel, what do you think is the data value chain, and how does that correlate to the business's value chain? I'm going to throw that over to Tina first.
Okay, yeah. I have two perspectives on that, actually. Well, there's a data value chain at first, what you could call the data pipeline from every data that's produced to every data that is used from data customers. So that's the data value chain as such. But if you want to measure the value of data, so if you really want to see how data adds value to the business value chain, I think you need to adopt the value to the business value chain and to the business domains and attach data to the domains, because after that, you can really say, what is my data worth for and how may it be used? Because let's face it, data is something so abstract and many data customers cannot say anything about data. We are attached to data. We know what data is. We know what we can do with data. But the actual consumer and user often doesn't. But it creates value as soon as the user knows what to do with the data. So this is my definition from the data value chain as a pipeline thing. Yeah, but true creation of create value, then data value chain needs to be attached to the business value chain.
But let's talk about those domains. So we have operational data, and we have technical data. I'd be curious how the other two panelists think about, is there a difference as it occurs, as it relates to the other domain? Carolina.
Yeah, thank you. No worries. I'm not sure if I'm an expert in that. I very much agree with Tina saying that the data or the data journey or data value chain in a company should always be pointing toward actually providing the value. And thinking from the value, thinking back, I think maybe, and maybe that's an orthodox opinion, maybe the domain doesn't matter that much as long as we're able to devise this value chain. I think that really depends on the industry and on the company. If there are several domains that needs to be involved, right, then naturally we can have the separation. But for smaller companies, they may also not be the case. So I think it really all depends on the business problem at hand. I think this is the most important thing, really, in coming up with what the data value chain in a particular use case is.
I agree actually also as well with Tina and Carolina that it has to be tied up with the business, because at the end, the value that we derive, it has to be tied up and we should be able to communicate it in business terms. And I also agree that a data value chain will not be only within the bounds of one domain, but it will span across multiple domains, because this is actually where you can derive significant value that drives the business, which is building on top of different data coming from different domains. So I wouldn't necessarily look at it from one domain, but it is a horizontal value chain that cuts across. And I think these are the value chains that you need to keep track of, because these are the ones that are driving the business and where you at the end, downstream at that value chain, you're going to have the KPIs that are driving the business.
Yeah, well, I would separate it a little, actually, because there are data products that have a value chain within the domain because they have a data product and in the end they have some kind of output. So that's fine. We can say, well, but in most of the businesses we know, like you mentioned, insurance business, the value chain is really many dotted domains sticking together as the value chain. And then it's by far harder to say where's the value of data, because there can be a value in every output from one domain to the other. And often you can't see it end to end. And if you want to see something from domain perspective, you should always measure end to end. And this isn't always possible in the sense of data measuring data value.
So I'm going to deconstruct what you as a collective had said. We have the overall value from I'm going to deconstruct it from the point that we have that value chain where we know that where we have the operations and we have the logistics and we have the marketing and the service. The thing is that when you have that entire value chain, we know there are value streams. And initially, when you do that, that operation, you have to do data collection. That actually gets back to Carolina's initial point of what is that question. And so now you have to think about the value stream. I'm not sure I want to say who is responsible, but rather, how do you come up with those questions? And what is your opinion? How do you decide what data to come up with in your business? Because, okay, go ahead, Tina.
I think you always have to do it from a customer perspective. And very often we speak of customers when we think of products, but we don't speak of customers when we speak of data. But this is truly important, because once we know what the customer needs, what kind of data the customer needs, all the questions can be answered quite easily. You can say, what kind of data quality do I need in this perspective? How often does the customer need the data, and so on. But you have to have it from a customer perspective. If you don't, you just miss too much the point.
All right. Go ahead, Tyler.
So one of the things when people chat around about data value chains is that you have to have this mind shift, that you have to have this customer-centric approach, which Tina was talking about. And this is also something that is a parallel that we see with data products. And rightly, Tina also mentioned data products there, right? Because when you're thinking, when you shift that mindset and you think about the customers, it is about how can I provide the data in the right format so that it can derive the value. And this leads us to something that I think a lot of us still struggle with, is that we're still not good at preparing that data so that when the other point downstream get that data can directly derive value, but they're still kind of have that overhead of reformatting the data, resolving inconsistencies, dealing with data quality problems. And so at the end, that data value chain is not going as we would want it, but people would be dealing with all of the technical aspects of the data work rather than focusing on the value creation. And I think this is what we see in a lot of companies and where the complexity of a data value chain lies.
Carolina, did you want to say anything?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to agree with both points. I think the point that I really liked from both Tina and Kinda that I think it's really worth emphasizing is what is the right data, right? What are the requirements? What piece of data or what kind of information is needed for the end product, for whatever the whatever is facing the customer? And once we understand that, we can then go backwards, right? And track pretty much the requirements. I think this is also where data contracts come in place, data product come in place, from really understanding the requirements of what we're building and what is customer facing. So I think also to circle back to your original question, Marisa, I think this is the good starting point for trying to map this data value chain, data journey, be it as it may, in an organization. What kind of data is really specifically needed to aid our business? And how can we get it? And how can we assure that it's in the quality that is necessary?
Now I'm going to throw a wrench into your discussion. Who are the customers? Are they all those who are buying your products and your services? Or do you have internal customers? So I'm going to just leave you with that question. Who wants to first take that answer?
I could. Well, both. It actually depends. You definitely have internal customers if you speak of data. And of course, if you speak of data products, you have external customers. That's at least my opinion. And you have to find the right language with them because, as I said, it's something abstract. So if you develop ubiquitous language for data, it works pretty well. And then you can set up, I love your expression, Carolina, data journey. So it's not the customer, but it's a data journey and you have to face it from a customer perspective.
If I may, one point, actually, I wanted to jump on what you said about data products, Tina, because I would also argue that there may be internal customers for data products. If the data is changing hands, changing a domain within the company, I believe whoever is then putting their hands on the data essentially is a customer of this data product. But as long as they're not the paying customer directly, they're not the starting point, I would guess. Or as long as this is not the crucial company operation and the strategic initiative that we're coming up with something completely new and now this is going to be what we're going to be, you know, selling maybe in the future. That would be my take on it, I think. I think they're both internal and external customers, but in businesses that are trying to survive, potentially the external paying customer should take precedence unless there is really a lot of financial leeway and, you know, everything is possible.
I'm actually going to push back on the precedence part because, and this goes back to the operational versus technical data aspect. So the operational data is the data that you need for, and I'm going to be very broad in this definition. The operational data is what you need in order to produce for your paying customers. Because this is, you know, I need this to produce X product or this service. But the technical data is what I need to manage my back end support system. And, you know, as a data management person, I require this in order to keep data security, data compliance, my policy, my legal, my HR. And my business can fail or not be in compliance if I don't have that. So I can't prioritize all my operations without that. So I have to have a nice balance between that. And that's something that I've had to personally take to the board to say, you can't do one without the other. And so in terms of collection, I'm like, I have to put the sensors in. I have to put the request in. You can't do it without the other. Go ahead, Kate.
And I would also agree with you, Marisa, on that point in the sense that, so in the past years, what I've been struggling to do is this balance. But with this new approach, right, and with data mesh, this has become a bit easier because a lot more people are talking about it, right? So the external customers, everyone knows about them. Everyone understands what it is, what we're doing, and that is set. But that mindset that actually we are producing data to internal customers, that is this game changer, right? This whole new mindset, product thinking, that you're just not producing data as an output, but you're producing it as it by design, and you are applying product thinking to data because you're serving customers within your business, because they need to get their hands on this data in a particular format, and they need you to manage it as if it was a product, because this is where you can actually start deriving value, because you've given them the data in the right format that they want. So I've been more often than not actually been focusing on drilling down that message that we have internal customers more than having to talk about external customers, because this is something, you know, it's a given, everyone knows about it, but that internal customers within the company and that mind shift, that is where I find myself spending a lot of time.
So this is a good segue, because I wanted to ask the next question I wanted to ask the panel was, you know, data, small word, but broad definition. How are you processing data and in aggregating it? Because you mentioned that you have to collect data, you have to process it, but at some point you have to aggregate it as you start to collect it and create products for your both your internal but also your customer and your external customers. And if you think about it, if there's from a bottom up approach, those who are working at the lower tiers of the organization doing, you know, heavy analysis of like, are my systems working? You know, am I, you know, are, you know, do I have, you know, I'm going to say those who are doing data security, I got to make sure they're looking at all the content, that's doing all the filtering. That's a lot of data. But as you're moving, you're going up that chain, you're filtering it down. You're aggregating it and you're actually reducing it and synthesizing it, because you want to be able to, your senior leadership does not want to see that much data. But yet at the same time, you have to take the report from one organization and a report from another organization and actually bring it together. How are you overcoming those challenges and trying to figure out what is the right data to bring from multiple organizations to give your up that chain, up that vertical chain? Or have you crossed that challenge?
So I would say, again, for me, at least, it would go back again to the customer, right? And see, so that would be C-level, right? What do they want? What do they want to see? And usually at the C-level, like you said, they need the aggregations. They need to see the trend over time, what is happening. And so usually they are looking at a set of KPIs, right? And this is how you come up with what they want, right? And obviously on the lower levels, if you look at it as a pyramid, the lower you go down the pyramid, the more information and the more detailed you have. But you always have to get that right data. And the right data, you can only get it by talking with the people who want to consume their data and understand what it is they want to see. And I think this is where people have been struggling for a long time with that black box in between people who are producing the data, not knowing who's using it and why they're using it. So data has been produced in a way that might be missing some data that down the line people actually need to see it. And it's actually pretty easy to include that data, but because people don't know, they don't include it, right? So it's all about that communication channel that needs to be established. And I think data contracts play a very pivotal role here, or could play a pivotal role. You could do it in other ways, but it's all about that communication channel, understanding who's using it and what do they want to see.
So Carolyn, I know you want to respond, but because she said black box, I just wanted to say, sometimes I get pushback from folks who are like, why do I need to collect all this data? And I always say, because you never know what question they want to ask. And I'm like, we need to collect all the data. So, all right. So Carolyn, next over to you.
No worries. I think one more point or one more piece of context that is missing from my perspective is the end of the value chain really an aggregated report to the C-level, or is it maybe some sort of data-heavy application that relies on machine learning models, right? because I don't think this is self-explanatory that there needs to be a particular level of aggregation as we move along the value chain. I think it's very domain specific and very use case specific. And I think what's relevant, or what I've seen working well, is apart from data contracts, which I think are marvelous, and we should all do more of that. Another thing that I want to definitely promote is treating data products as products and really making sure that the teams that create those are teams that also are cross-functional, that can have some level of power over what kind of data is needed for the problem, right? So we need data and domain experts at particular levels or particular stages of data value chain to be able to actually determine what is the meaning of this data, what can be done with this data, how should it be interpreted, how should it be stored best. All of that is something that I think this data product teams ideally can, to some extent, find out independently, maybe having conversations with relevant stakeholders within the organization.
You know, I noticed you wanted to add.
And I absolutely agree about treating data products really as products. But again, data is more abstract than a physical product, you know. And to make it more visible, what we often do is we use the flight level approach. And we speak about on a very abstract level of what is your strategic value you want to get out of something. And then you design a portfolio. For this portfolio, what kind of data do you need? And then for this kind of data you need, what kind of, and now we get down the value chain, what kind of assumptions do we need to make? And from those assumptions, how do we need to aggregate the data? And in the end, of what data do we need? So if we speak of a vertical data chain, if we want to get the value out of it, we kind of look at it from a product perspective, but top down and never bottom up.
Well, I'm going to give you this challenge. There's this psychological model called the Johari model. It's a psychologist. And there's like four premises. You have known data, known question, unknown data, unknown question. Okay. Unknown question, unknown data, and then unknown question, unknown data. And because of that framework, so any one of those cases, you might have the data, but you don't know the question, or you might know the question, you don't know the data. You, as someone who has to write the data contract, have to write your contract. Should I hire a data scientist to write the algorithm with the anticipation I'm going to go find the data and do the collection and do R&D, for instance? Or should I just write the algorithm with known data? And you play with that. And I'll be honest with you, I've written a contract with all four in mind, because the idea is I'm going to do it in phase approach. Would your organizations allow you to do that? To do it in a phased approach, knowing that it'll take a 5 or 6 year approach, or maybe longer? That's my question to you.
Well, I can only answer from an external perspective. As I'm a consultant, I always ask my clients to do that, because that's really important. If you want to reach the data quality and data that's really usable by the customers, you need to do so, and you need to define the data contract. So, but many clients really say, why do I need this? It takes too much time. I just take my scientists and they will design something and boom. And then you have something we call it Elfenbeinturm in Germany. So it's somewhere in the tower and nobody can use it. And this is why I have to say, no, it's ubiquitous language. Data is a kind of language. And you have to define the language and you have to speak to each other. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. So that's my opinion. That's what I tell my clients. But, most of them are not so keen on that, because it means work. It means responsibility. And it means you have to really stick to the process and to what well, what the company actually said, well, we want to be responsible for. So,
yeah. Good. Carolina.
Yeah, I was thinking that naturally there is always a lot of unknown unknowns. And I think especially with data, there are always so many avenues and little alleys one could go into. But I think there is a trade-off between trying to devise a perfect solution and implementing a solution that works. And I think we have already similar experience also from software engineering, right? Where we basically should be programming or should be coding for the things that we know with the best maybe flexibility and extendability in mind. However, trying to predict all the unknowns, I've not seen that succeeding, right? I think my approach would be to really do quite a lot of due diligence and try to understand the data as good as possible. I think maybe this is the point that people sometimes miss, right? People have the data, they want to have something done with it, but and they maybe know what's supposed to be in the data, but then you ask them, have you actually plotted this? Have you seen it? Have you played with it, right? And the answer oftentimes is no, which to me is surprising and shocking. And I think going through this first step of an in-depth exploration most of the time should allow for a first version of data contract that then can be tested with potential data customer. And then we can get feedback from them and see if we have missed anything. So I would typically try to go for getting to the reasonable V1 at speed and then iterating over it together with the users, naturally. That's, I think, where there's often a lot of difficulties where there are actually users of the contract and there are multiple and you're producing the data, right? And everyone needs to be updated. But again, the colleagues in software engineering have done it before. So there is a lot to steal from them.
I think it's fair to, and everyone would agree that we are data hoarders, right? And we collect as much data as we want. And I think that's going to get definitely much worse with Gen AI, right? It's really hard to get that balance, how to leave enough room for flexibility and for data scientists to play with their models and try and figure out what they can do with the data. But also kind of understand the data that you have and control it and make sure it doesn't turn into a data swamp. So it's an interesting thing. I haven't I don't have a silver bullet answer here. We're trying things out. And I think you need different types of contracts depending on the end use case there.
Do you really think you connect enough data, kind of?
I'm sorry?
Do you really think you can collect enough data?
The answer is probably no, right? And that is what I was saying. You're hoarding data because the more data you can get your hands on, everyone thinks it's better. And I think we were reaching a point saying, okay, actually, maybe that is not a good practice. But I think now with Gen AI on the rise, people are going to hoard even more and more because we don't understand how the algorithms necessarily work. And so the more data you feed it, if it's of good data quality, which is, you know, a big question mark there, the better they're going to get. But let's see what happens.
Could I please come back to the questions? Because the question was, do we have enough data? And I don't think this is the correct question. The correct question is, do we have enough data for what? Right?
Yeah.
Because the amount of data we need in a small company that has to optimize a piece of their inner working versus the amount of data that we need to train now a long language model. There's completely different scales, but most of the companies will not be training their own large language models anytime soon, right?
I would add to that good data quality, you know, because...
The question is for what, right? Like, what is the correct amount of data for the purpose at hand?
You know, I'm not I wasn't a fan of the LLM concept because I feel like that's too restrictive personally. So I think I like my question because the reason why is, so I actually trained as a linguist. So because of that, I always wanted to build vocabulary and it didn't matter what data I collected. It was always building my vocabulary, building my content, building whatever. And the idea is I never, and this goes back to my comment about the black box, I'm not sure what question I'm going to be asked. I just know that if I have it there in my side pocket, I'll be able to answer the question when it comes. So that's an analyst mindset, not a data person mindset. That's an operator's mindset. So not a software engineer. Mind you, if to your point though, Carolina, if I have to answer a specific question, I have to go and look and see, do I have enough to answer that question? The answer is probably not. But then I have to go, where can I go and find it? And then I'll go and look to see if I can look for more of that content. But I am never going to turn off my ability to go and collect more data. And so I'll admit that sometimes when I'm here in the current environment where companies are saying, we will host your data, but you own your data, and we're trying to do data mesh, I'm like, well, I would like to share your data. It's the idea of we need to protect your data that you own, but I still want to share your data. And that's not something folks are comfortable with right now. Because if we're truly going to have a data mesh environment, we have to be better at being comfortable with what we're exposing. So I like the idea that I don't think we have enough data. So that's the end of that conversation. Anyway, moving forward, would anybody else want to contribute to that conversation?
Well, I would like to contribute to your both last points, because I think you can really bring it together. If you look at, do you have enough data from an data mesh perspective in a company, you're totally right, I would say, Marisa, because then it's not a vertical distraction of data, but it's horizontal. You're putting domains to domains to domains. But if you're speaking of a Gen AI model that's really dedicated to a product, you really have to raise the what question before you say, do I have enough data? You know, it's two different point of views. And if you see it from an organizational perspective, putting together all the data mesh to really make data work in a company, don't look at it from a vertical perspective, look at it from horizontal perspective, because then first you get enough data, then you have to make the people align to each other to share the data and so on. But if you speak from a Gen AI product, you have to raise the what question first.
I mean, this is from personal experience. I worked temporarily for a bank, and then I worked obviously in the other job, and we needed to share with our coalition partners, right? And then I also in the bank, I needed to work with other banks. And the thing is that it wasn't that for the lack of wanting to share the data, it's just I didn't know what they have. And then I don't want to share their technical data. I wanted to share their operational data, and I always wanted to say, well, what did you have? And that goes back to that whole, now I'm going to bring it, circle it back to this data value chain. It's like, well, do I need you to contribute to my operation? Do I need you to contribute to my marketing? Do I need to contribute, do I need to have you help me to my, policies at this point? Because ultimately I'm trying to improve my business. We don't like to say this word, but we're trying to monetize our services, but I'm trying to improve what products I'm doing. So I need more data assets. And if I'm talking in terms of pure business, I need to look for, supplies to help me execute those activities, and that therefore data is an asset. So do I have enough assets to execute my business? Okay, I'm going to ask a different question. We're going to move on. I don't want to beat this horse. That's an American term. Okay, don't have that term. One of the questions that was brought up is that, do you think that data value chain is something you bring up as a framework that people adhere to? And that does bring up why I asked, do you think, when I asked you about the known and unknown versus known, is that, you know, one of the, when you do data planning and when you do business strategy, it's because you're doing long-term planning. Are you able to go into your business and help with the long-term budgeting? So is data value chains a part of that discussion? Kind of, I'll start with you.
Personally, we are not at that level yet. But I would say it is very valuable once you're looking at the budget to take a look at that. Because at the end, so if we take a look at the company that I'm working in, data actually is their product, right? And so once you start bringing that into the discussion, how do you actually bring more value from that data? How do you improve the underlying models so that you can come up with the right premiums on the policy? This is what's going to drive the business to grow. I think we're definitely on the way there, but I would be very curious to hear people's strategies on bringing that discussion into the room, because that is, I'm pretty sure it's one of the drivers that you would need.
Can I absolutely agree? Because what I often experience is that clients come up and say, well, we want to have a data value chain. It's hip, you know. they want to speak about it. They want to have a data catalog. They want to have a data strategy. And most of all, data needs to bring value. So they need to have a data value chain. And then I ask one question, because I think the first thing a data value chain does is it creates transparency. And I ask them, are you ready for transparency? Because very often, if you look along the business value chain, there are so many, especially in large companies, so many departments that aren't ready for the transparency. And then you have to dig into that, because otherwise you will never set up a proper end-to-end data value chain. So it's a mindset thing first, you know, and then you can come up with the models.
And maybe I'll follow up a little question on that, maybe for Tina or for anyone else. Do you think that mindset change, is it something, a cultural change that happens in the entire company, or do you need to first start off with a top-down approach? Is it a bottom-up approach? What is the best thing here?
I had a great mentor. He was the chief scientist for the... he was the chief scientist for one of the military services here in the United States. And he said, you have to have a business architecture perspective. And he said, and there's three aspects. You have operations. So that the three aspects of the architecture, the abstract system, policies, and technology. And you have to have it in levels. So at the top level, so think about it strategic. What are your policies, your operations, and your systems? And then the next level is your operationals, like at the line level, operation systems and policies. And then at your tactical level, like who's doing the work, operation policies and level. And then ask yourself, when you said your products are operations, policies, and systems, well, that's your product, so that's your operations level. But what is the business doing for their operations policies and their system, right? The system isn't the system of the technology, but the system of running the business, okay? Like your processes for the people you hire, the tools that you give to the people to do their business. That's the enabling capability. Okay. So now you go back to the value chain, the actual business value chain, the legal, the policies are those industry value chains. And then the operations are, how do you execute that when, you know, the time comes? Then you go down to that max level. So you take a step back and you look at those that abstract and say, well, I have that to do the actual core capability, but I don't have that for that business. And then you go down there to that lower level and you say, but I could do that at the lower level. So if you can't do that across all three levels, you're not actually executing at the business. All right, that's it. Carolina, Tina, kind of anything else to add?
No, I think you perfectly described it. It was just, this is what we do with a flight level approach as we try to add the systems and technology on every flight level from strategic architectural perspective to a more operational coordinative perspective down to the raw data and raw product perspective. And this works very well if the company is ready for it. And to make the company ready for it from a mindset perspective, the easiest thing is to find the right language. Yeah, to really find the right base of wording and how to express the meaning of the data in certain domains. And then it works quite well. And you have to have the business architecture, of course. Yeah.
What I would say is that you don't necessarily have to bring it up in conversation. What you have to have is your own awareness of it and then ask the question from that perspective. So what I would do and what I have been doing is, like, if I'm in those meetings saying, well, who are the people doing this? Who are the folk, you know, so in the systems perspective, who's responsible for providing that legal support? Who is responsible for providing those documentations on the policy part? Who's responsible? So you're not saying we need to have that. You're just asking those questions. So we are down to our last 5 minutes. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up. I would like to go around the room and ask if there are any last thoughts from our team regarding the data value chain. So I'm going to go ahead and start first with Tina, then I would like you to hand it off to the rest of the team.
Okay, but I didn't get the question completely. So
what's your last thought on data value chain?
Where you should start at the customer perspectives. Just leave it like that. We talked about the certain customer perspective, so leave it like that. Start with the customer.
All right, kind of.
Maybe the last thing that I would wrap up, since we're on the data mesh panel, because I was thinking about the last days and thinking about the data value chain and data mesh and trying to see what kind of parallels are there. And I think we mentioned that both of them kind of need this cultural shift and this mindset shift, customer-centric approach, which equates to data as a product mindset within data mesh. And the other thing that perhaps was briefly mentioned at the beginning was that with the data value chain, the ultimate goal is to derive value from the data, right? And the only way to enable the business and the people working with the data to do that is for them to really be able focusing on driving that value and for everything else to go in the background. And again, within data mesh, this is what we're trying to do, right? As we shift the responsibility to the left, and the business is getting this new responsibility, we're trying to do everything we can to make this responsibility as easy as possible, whether it's with a self-serve data platform, with having the right structures, processes, data literacy in place. So I think whether it's the data value chain or data mesh, these were kind of like the two parallels that I came up with. And I think it wraps up these two concepts, maybe that's, you know, a bit together.
Great. Thank you. And Carolina?
Yeah, I think there is not that much to add, actually. I think one point that has become clear to me in the discussion is that there are different ways to provide value to the organization. I think that's something that became more explicit in our discussion. One is providing the value directly to the customer. The other part is providing value through improving processes, through innovation and so on. And ultimately, the data may be needed for both in organization. For me, this kind of was more in one compartment as, you know, providing value to the business. I think there may be two different things, right? So that's something that may be complicated to articulate clearly enough in the strategic conversations, what takes precedence and when, because naturally we also all want to develop for the future. However, circling back, I think, to the last point of the conversation, I also want to say that I think it's a bit of a blessing that data mesh has become so popular, and it's a bit of a blessing that we also have all of this wonderful AI hype, even though most likely we do not have enough data for that. I think it all brings enough attention to the need of bringing the data to the usable state within the organization. And the fact that now not only the AI is sexy, but also the data architecture is sexy, the data contracts are sexy, the data mesh is sexy, I think it's quite a good point for us to be in if we want to build organizations that have this robust data. So that's maybe my last words. I think the timing is right to do these things right.
Excellent point from our panel. And I think if I had to say one thing about data value chain, it is an overlay of a company's business value chain. You can't have one without the other. And with that, you are on the Data Mesh Radio. Thank you for your time and have a good day.
I'd again like to thank the participants today, our wonderful facilitator, Marisa Fish, who's a senior technical architect at Salesforce, as well as our panelists, Kinda El-Mahdi, who's the director of data governance and business intelligence at Prima, Tina Albrecht, who's a senior director of transformation at Exida, and Carolina Stozio, the senior project manager of AI at Munich Re. You can find a link to their LinkedIns in the show notes as per usual. Thanks. Panels really are my favorite. And no, it's not just because I don't have to do the hard work. I swear. They give you a chance to hear from folks entirely devoid of my own views, which I think is crucial in our learning journey to figure out how to do data mesh well. Hopefully this one was super useful for you. Please do consider getting in touch with guests from the show. Almost all guests have said that they'd really love people to reach out. Data Mesh Radio is again provided by Data Mesh Understanding and is produced and usually hosted by, you know, except for these panels, by me, Scott Herleman. Do check out our website, datameshunderstanding.com, for more information. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by our offerings and some of the free programs out there. I hope you have a great rest of your day. And with that, let's hear that funky outro music. Thank you.